Speaking of pitchers and attacking hitters and things of that nature, Pat Hentgen is a special assistant with the Toronto Blue Jays. He joins us in Baseball Central. Hello, Mr. Hentgen.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Got to ask you this, Pat. I mean, this team, you know, funny, we talked about this going into the season. I think we all said great offense, defense, great defense. Bullpen should be okay. Starting pitching, we're not so sure about. It's almost like the Blue Jays have flipped the entire equation on its head here. The starting rotation has been so good. At what point does the weakness in the bullpen, all right, I'm going to say the lack of performance by the bullpen, start weighing on the minds of the starting pitchers?
Well, I think it always does, you know, and I remember, yeah, I used to tell myself, well, finish the game. I mean, it sounds easy, but it's not to do that under 125 pitches. You know, it's frustrating as a starting pitcher. You come out of the game, you pitched a good game, and you win in 4-2, and next thing you know, it's 4-4, and then you end up losing 5-4, and you're just going, oh, man, I was 6 outs away from winning this game. But, you know, I think it's always on your mind as a starting pitcher. I think that the starting pitchers, they have to just focus on their job and realize that it's like an umpire or anything else that's out of your control. Compete your butt off until the manager comes and gets you, and cross your fingers while you're in the locker room watching.
Yeah, should there be a limit on Roberto Osuna? We just mentioned the struggles with the bullpen. You know, there's not really a seventh inning guy. There's not an eighth inning guy. We've seen Osuna pitching in the eighth inning more than one time because Gibby has nobody to go to. Should there be limits on him this year, or is he young enough and it doesn't matter? It's basically whenever we need you, that's when you're pitching.
Well, they do such a great job of monitoring the arms and the usage there. I'm not overly worried about that. I would say that as soon as it's a great pitcher, I mean, if you get to use him in the eighth inning, do it. I remember when I played, I used to say, why does the closer get all the recognition? And he comes in sometimes, gets 7, 8, 9 with a 3-run lead. I'm like, the guys that pitched in the seventh and eighth inning got the big outs that day, or the starting pitcher in the third inning got the big outs in the game. So for me, I love the fact that teams are starting to, I don't want to say roll the dice, but maybe evolve and start using these guys in these pivotal high leverage innings,
yeah,
as opposed to sitting around and waiting. Remember the one year when we had Hanky, the last 7 games of the year, he didn't get the pitch much. And I remember thinking, man, our best pitcher in the bullpen barely got the pitch. And I'm going back now, guys. I'm talking about like 89 maybe.
Right.
I don't remember what year it was with the Tigers. Maybe it was 87. I can't remember, but the bottom line was our best reliever really very rarely pitched the last week of the year. And that's just the way teams ran their bullpens back then. And I'm loving seeing these guys coming in with the high leverage innings. I mean, I talked about this in the early 90s. We all did when we played.
Yeah, Pat, I think this is a big question that Gibby's having real trouble answering is, how do you get these guys going? You know, Drew Storen was brought here to be the eighth inning guy. Chavez, I think, was brought here to be maybe a long relief, that seventh inning guy. Let's face it, they're not getting it done. Sooner than later, they're going to have to. How, if you're a manager, how do you get them headed in the right direction? Is it just when the situation arises, you have to throw them in? Is that how they're going to go about it?
You know what? I think sometimes just mingling around during the field, going out during BP as the manager, and just walking up to a guy that may be going through a tough time and just, you know, reinforce to him, hey, say, listen, you know, it's going to turn. Your bubblegum card proves that. And it's going to turn. Let's just get back to the basics. Let's start focusing on down and away. You know, when in doubt, let's throw down and away. Get your fastball command down and away. I mean, do you see the system here that I'm trying to emulate here? They need to start throwing down and away. And you know, the other day, I think it was Floyd, we tried to go in again, and boom. And then one thing I learned about charting pitches, guys, and it was when I look back on it, it was pretty damn cool. We had to chart the game. They don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. One of the things I learned was the risk-reward between inside and away. You have zero risk or zero risk. There's so much risk when you go inside compared to going away. Look at Batista's balls. If you look at his spray chart, 75% of his home runs are to left center to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is that these relievers, they're only coming in for one inning. So let's not focus on what the hitter's weakness is. Let's just pitch to our strength, go down and away. When in doubt, down and away. And let's hammer that ball down and away. Another down and away story real quick. BJ Ryan told me he went 7 times down and away. Didn't matter who the hitter was. the year he had that monster year in Toronto. I said, what do you mean? He said, seven times, Pat. I figured I could nibble three times on the corner before I'd miss four. And that was the philosophy. And I really think that that's what the relievers need to do, Storins and some of the guys that have been struggling. They get beat inside a lot, and the starters do too. And we're not the only team. Every team does it.
Sure. Pat, how much of that do you think comes from the fact that we're so focused on velocity in this game right now that I'm not going to say everybody thinks they can throw 100 even when they can't, but, you know, the way the game is pitched now, it's, boy, I got to come in and overpower you. You know, and yeah, down and away is sounds great and everything, and but man, it's not the same as me just coming in and overpowering you. Do you think that maybe guys get, it's almost an ego thing with a lot of guys, that I still got this, boy, I can just get it by this guy. Oh, can't get it by him.
Oh, sure. And not only that, but that's why there's so much volatility in the bullpen. Some of the teams that evaluate pitchers are loving that radar gun, and they realize that he's going to have a good month and he's going to have a bad month, and he's just buckshotting his fastball in there. And he doesn't know where his fastball is going. He comes in trying to throw 100 miles an hour and makes a mistake out over the middle, and boom. You know, give me the guy that can paint his fastball, and that's the guy that's got the good bubblegum card. Mm-hmm. These guys come in, they have three good months, then they have a bad month, then they're, you know, like, I don't want to bring up names, but guys have had great seasons as relievers, and then the next year they're in AAA and they can't get anybody out.
Yeah.
And you just go back and watch the video, the guy was lucky for 3 months. And people go, how can you be lucky for 3 months? You can be lucky for 3 months in baseball when you're a relief pitcher. You only pitch 7-8 times a month, and you can have some atom balls. You can have two outs and throw it right down the middle, and they pop it up. And it's just you get exposed over the long haul year after year, and let's focus more on where the ball's going as opposed to how hard I throw. And a lot of sometimes it's the front office's fault, guys.
That was my next question. This is the big leagues, and the reason why I wasn't in the big leagues as long as I felt like I should have been is because when I got here, I just didn't make the adjustment quick enough. Whenever you say go down and away, to me, when you say that, it just sounds real simple. Why wouldn't they already know you should go down and away in the seventh inning or the eighth inning? To me, is it either the catcher not knowing that you have to go down and away, or is it the pitcher's fault that, hey, okay, we're going to get beat here, let's do it because the guy's going the other way. Who, I guess, is to blame in that? Is it the catcher or is it the pitcher?
Well, I blame the pitcher just because the catcher suggests. The problem is you have a catcher that has 10 years in with a great reputation and been to All-Stars and playoffs 9 years in a row. And it's not easy to shake off a guy like that, especially for a guy like Vendetti or Girardo or Tapera or any of these other guys that have got less than 2 years in the league. And one of the first things I told guys was, you throw your game here, big man. Don't worry about shaking off. And a lot of pitchers throw sinkers and they throw two seamers and they think they got to throw it inside all the time to tie up the righties, and you don't want to let them get extended. I get that, but you're coming in for one inning. You need to stay down and away. Every once in a while, buzz a guy up and in for a strike, try to get it up there. That's a whole other issue. It's hard to get a called strike in there, guys. Mm-hmm. You have more freedom for the strike zone from the umpire away as opposed to in. That's another reason why you don't go in as much. But I'm not saying you don't pitch in. I pitched in a lot. I get that. I'm just saying as relievers, we need to focus on down and away. I don't blame the catcher. I blame the pitcher. They can shake.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting too, Pat, because Major League Baseball is now talking about raising the strike zone, which, you know, is I read someplace yesterday, they said, yeah, you can raise the strike zone 5 feet, lower it 5 feet. Joe West's strike zone is still the strike zone. It's going to be the strike zone this year, next year. But Pat, if they do raise the strike zone, as they're talking about doing right now, how is that going to affect, you know, the whole process of going down and away?
Are they only bringing up the lower border?
Yeah.
They're not going to bring up the upper one?
Nope, just the lower border.
Well, obviously MLB is trying to score more runs. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yep.
I would say that it's still down and away is still going to be effective, even if they bring it to the top of the knee as opposed to the bottom of the knee. That's always such a hard call. I mean, you could see how catcher, especially Russell, he's good at framing that bottom one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he might steal some strikes for you over the year. You know, those umpires, it cracks me up. They do such a great job. And for the players to complain, I didn't complain much to the umps because I always felt like it was a hard thing to do. And even with the new strike zone in the box, these guys are right so often. You know, it's just almost bad luck if you're in the box when they make a bad call.
Mm-hmm.
They only do it 4 or 5 times a game. You know, so I don't think it's going to affect the pitchers too much. I think down and away is going to be effective for the next 100 years. It's just a tough pitch to hit. You know, it's so hard to hit the ball down and away.
it's hard to elevate the ball down and away. But I wanted to have this conversation with somebody that knew what they were talking about, and you're the perfect guy because you
well, you can't talk to me about it.
Well, no, because you never pitched in the big leagues. This is the one question I wanted to ask. I've been on this show, and obviously we know the issue is the hitting with the Blue Jays. And, you know, you hear Pat and Buck all the time when we'll give a name. Edwin walks to the plate, and you've noticed a pattern here in the big leagues. Is they're trying to make him, as an opposing pitcher, go the other way. And Pat and Buck's always argument is, well, why don't you scoot closer to the plate? And I wanted to ask a pitcher this. What does that do to a pitcher's mindset when you see a guy that, you know, you've game-planned again that originally standing in the back bat – the back of the batter's box, and then when he walks to the plate the first at bat and he's closer to the plate, what does that do to you mentally? What does that tell you that you have to do something differently as a pitcher?
Oh, I think he wants it inside more than he does away. I think he's worried about away, so he's got to get out there. But I think those types of guys that crowd the plate like that, they love it inside. They're quick inside. They look inside. You know, Batista, same thing. I don't mean to bring him up. He's just a great hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he loves that inside pitch. And you know, for me, it's not easy to execute down and away. If a guy cheats in the box like that, I didn't typically look at a whole lot at that. I was more focused, more kind of like Burley. I wanted to try to focus on just hitting the spot. But for me, I don't know. A lot of catchers see that stuff. They'll usually tip it off for you and maybe call a different game. I don't really think it matters to me. I didn't like going inside, back anyway. So for me, if a guy crowds a plate like that, he's looking to cover the inside pitch, even though I might be thinking the opposite, right? It's almost like reverse, like the pool ball, the cue.
that's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. It's only May 24th, but, you know, Aaron Sanchez, we've got a little bit of, there's a body of work here now for this year. How different is the Aaron Sanchez you're seeing now as a starter now compared to when, you know, Aaron came up as a reliever when there was some, or even as a starter? Just how different is he now? How much more advanced is he now compared to, you know, last year?
Oh, his curveball command's a lot better. And, you know, I know he doesn't even need his changeup, but he throws it because it's so darn good too. So, you know, he's got 3-plus pitches. He's got great body. You know, he throws the heck out of it. He's exactly what you drafted. I mean, we drafted him hoping that he'd become this, and he has.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a credit to the development, and it's tip your hat to Sanchez. I mean, he's just a great pitcher right now on a roll.